Good morning, LifePoint Church. Good to see you here today. It's nice to have you all here with us. And for those of you that didn't realize that 42 was under a little bit extra construction today, maybe a little bit later, but that's okay. We're so glad that you made it and you found us here. If we haven't yet met yet, my name is Lee. I'm the teaching pastor here at LifePoint Plain City, and really, really glad to have you all here. We've been really enjoying this series this fall, walking through the letter of James, and we've been calling it Everyday Faith. But if you're new, if this is your first time or you're new with us, I would love to direct your attention to the little QR code on the seat back in front of you. It will take you to a website called lpguest.com, and there you can find a couple of things that you might find helpful today. One of those is the message notes. If you like kind of following along or seeing where we're going, writing notes to yourselves, you can email that to yourself, and it can just be a reference point for you for whatever the Lord maybe lays on your heart today as we walk through James chapter 3. Also, at that website, lpguest.com, there's a connection card, which if you would just take a moment to fill out, it'll do a couple of things. One is it'll help us to learn more about you and how you found us here at LifePoint, which is always a really great treat. We often hear people say they were invited by a friend or perhaps they saw something online, and so we're just so glad that you found us here, and we hope that you find really a wonderful, welcoming community that we would love to connect and get to know you. Also, at the very bottom of that connection card, if you would select, there are six different ministries that we partner with that are doing really amazing work right here in Central Ohio and even right here in Plain City, that if you choose one of those, we'll make an extra $5 donation to them on your behalf. And so just by taking a few moments to fill that out, your time with us today is actually going to help someone else. And so we're so grateful that you would do that. Okay, so this is kind of the time of year where it feels like sicknesses and colds and viruses and all the kind of things go around, right? Like if you've got kids, maybe you're trying to fight the battle, perhaps they've already been sick, or you as a grown-up are like, man, I don't want to take any more time off, or I don't want to take time off of work. But inevitably, right, we find like we're not feeling ill or we're feeling ill, and what do we end up doing? We end up going to the doctor, okay? Hopefully our doctor or the emergency room or the urgent care, right, for most of you in some way. And when you walk in there, they'll get some general stats about you. And one of the things that inevitably will happen is they'll walk in and they'll ask you to open up your mouth, and they want to, for you to say, ah, right? They look at your tongue, which is really interesting, right? You're like, man, my knee hurts, or my head is hurting, or my back is, but they want to look at your tongue. And it's like, why on earth are you trying to check, see what our tongue is? And, a couple of things, right? If you're in kind of the medical field, you realize like the tongue has some indicators around whether you're healthy or not. Maybe the coloration of your tongue, if it's dehydrated, if it's wet, whatever that kind of looks like, can kind of give that medical person an idea of like, hey, if there's something wrong with your tongue, there might be something else going on in your body, right? And where we're going in James chapter 3 is James is going to kind of do the same thing with us. He's going to kind of give us a little bit of a spiritual checkup and let you and I know that our tongue can kind of be an indicator of what's going on inside of us, right? And so today, we may need to buckle up, right? Because I think this passage, unlike most of the others, is super very practical and perhaps even very convicting for all of us. It's been convicting for me this week in thinking about this. Because each week, here's what James has been trying to teach us, is that if we want to live like Jesus, right, we need to have a faith like his, right? And so it's our faith in Jesus that leads us to live like Jesus. That James is trying to help you and I see that if our faith is in the person and work of Jesus Christ, then what should happen is our lives should start to look more like that. We should start to live more like he did. And he's going to start to address some certain things about us that help us to see whether or not we're actually living like Jesus. And today, he wants to talk about our words. He wants to talk about our tongues and how we use those. Because what he's going to help us see is that our tongues, right, can be a spiritual indication to the overall health in our lives, especially around our spiritual health. Because what happens with our tongues, right? Like we live in a culture where it feels like the words that we say, either from our mouths or from our fingertips on a screen or through our phones on social media, that there seems like we live in a day and age where words come with criticism, come with sarcasm, right? That they come and it feels like they're fast, they're unfiltered, that we seem to really praise people who just say it how it is, right? Well, they just speak the truth. They just say what's on their mind without any sort of filter around them. And what James is going to help you and I see is that we have to think wisely about our words, because our words are really important. They matter in a very big degree, to a very big degree there. And so we're going to be in James chapter 3. If you've got a Bible, I'd love for you to go ahead and jump in there, James chapter 3. And one of the things that James is going to help us begin to see in our lives is that when it comes to our words, it's not just a communication issue, right? It's not just that we need to learn how to say things better or more kindly or more gently or at the right time. That he's not just saying, hey, we need to think about kind of the words that we use. He's going to say it's not a communication issue. Really, what it comes down to is it's a heart issue. That our words are a reflection of what's in us. Right? Remember, if you know the Gospels in any way, and some of the things that Jesus taught, in Luke chapter 6, he tells us that really it's what comes out of our hearts, right? Our mouth speaks out of the overflow of our hearts. That out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouth speaks. And so Jesus, and remember James is Jesus' half-brother. And so James has heard this before from his own brother, that what we say comes out of our hearts. It really comes out of what's in us. And so we want to begin to think about, okay, then how do our words reflect our true faith in Jesus? And so James is going to want us to see today from chapter 3 is that a changed heart, it leads to changed words. That a changed heart should lead to changed words. That our words should match our works. And this really flows out of, right? Last week, Christian has all of us wondering whether or not we're in or not when it comes to Team Jesus. And he talked about this idea of the fruit in our lives is an indication of our faith. And he began to help us to see that what our life is ultimately rooted in. That really trees produce fruit based upon what their roots are rooted in, the source of it. And that the fruit in our lives is going to begin to show you and I what our faith is in. Because James says these things like we're not justified by faith, but by our works. And what James is trying to say there is not that our faith doesn't matter, but he says your works are going to be an evidence of your faith. That what's going to show whether or not you truly love and follow Jesus is your life will actually start to look like that. And so James chapter 2 is really helping us to see that faith without works is deadly. That really it's a faith that isn't alive. It's a dead faith. It's not a genuine living faith because it's not producing the fruit and the life of Jesus. And what's really interesting is the very first thing that James starts to write about when he talks about the works in our lives, the works of our faith, is he moves right to our words. He goes right after our tongues. Because I think if we're honest, for a lot of us, this is an area that we struggle with. We struggle with not just the content of our words, but really it's what is coming out of us is our words are revealing some things about us. And so what James is going to show us is in chapter 3 is that words without control are also deadly. All right, that if we don't have a sense of how to control the words that we say, that it can cause a lot of damage as well. And so what we're going to see, if a changed heart leads to changed words, we're going to see how words are powerful, that words are dangerous, and lastly, how words are revealing. So let's go ahead and let's look at our first point, how words are powerful. In James chapter 3, here's what James says starting right here in verse 1. He's going to show us about how our words carry weight. Our words are powerful. Verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. Another way to think about that perfect is mature, right? They are a mature person. Able and also to bridle his whole body. Oh, wait, yeah, perfect. Able and also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. You see, what James is going to begin to help us to see here is that even though our tongues are a very small part of our bodies, and even though words may be small in terms of a whole letter that you write, a whole book. But you and I both know that there have been words spoken to you and me that have changed the course of our lives. Right? They've changed decisions that we've made. They've changed kind of how we thought about ourselves and how we thought about our lives, both in a positive way and also in a negative way. You see, even though the tongue is small, it steers very big things. And notice what he starts off with first is he goes right after people like me, teachers. Now, not necessarily teachers in the classroom, but he's saying those of you who teach, right, those of you who are teaching in a way of what he's talking about here is definitely spiritual matters. That in that day and age, right, that a lot of how people learned was oratory. It was hearing somebody teach around ideas, around thoughts. Like if you think of in the book of Acts when Paul is in Athens in this Greek kind of culture, and one of the things that they're doing is they're debating back and forth philosophical ideas. And so the way that people began to absorb information was from trusted people that would begin to communicate that. There wasn't books, you know, there wasn't fact-checking that you can do now. You couldn't just write things in online and find whether the true source of that is. You would have to take, for instance, what that somebody was saying. And so what James is trying to help people see is that those of you who are teaching, you're held to a higher standard, right? So I think of our life group leaders. I definitely think of our ministry leaders. I think of anybody that's up there trying to communicate truth and knowledge to others, that there's a greater level of responsibility that we have. Why is that? Because what we say helps direct where people go, right? It influences them, right? Our words, they steer people in directions. And he's saying for those of you who are teaching matters related to spiritual truths, that it's not just helping people steer directions around, you know, what they should do for a living, how they should think about relationships or their marriage or their finances or what job to do or where to live or how to think about politics. He's saying teachers who are teaching spiritual matters, what you're doing, the things that you're teaching are directing people towards an eternity with God, with eternal life, or an eternity away from God in hell. He says it matters. There's a weighty responsibility when it comes to teaching the word. It's why the things that I'm praying over and thinking about, I want them to be helpful and to be true according to God's word, because of the matter with which I am going to be judged. You see, the reason he starts with teachers is their words shape people's lives and their faith. And he gives us two visual examples of this, right? He talks about the bits in horses' mouths. I think I've got a picture. For those of you that maybe aren't equestrian, right, and know what this is, right, a bit that goes on the front of a horse, right, and it helps, and there's that little part that goes inside their mouth, the bit that they bite on that's got the two rings on the side that they've got ropes around. And as they are helping to direct this massive beast, it's helping to tell the horse to go left, to go straight, to slow down, to speed up, right? Any little nudge on that, you who riders, you understand this, you know this, that there's this strong, massive animal is directed by this small little tool. And not just that, then he tells us about ships. And he goes and he says, ships, though they be large. Now, these weren't the ships in Paul's day, so don't get on me with that, okay? Or James's day, excuse me. Like, these weren't first century ships there, but it's the same principle. Large, massive ships driven by winds or by motors and engines are directed by a rudder. Take that thing and shift it a little degree this way, and guess what happens? The whole thing changes direction. So depending upon where that rudder moves, determines whether that ship goes straight, whether that ship goes right or left. A small member, but yet has the power to steer and direct where it goes. You see, our words, they steer people and they steer situations. Every sentence we speak either points people towards Jesus or it points them away from Jesus. See, the words that we say at work to our kids, that we post online, they're a reflection and they are helping lead people in directions. Whether you're just venting or whether you're just, you know, being sarcastic or being critical or whatever it may be, the words that we say matter. Because they're either directing people to say, hey, I want to point you towards Jesus, or the things that I'm saying pointing you away from him. Our words carry much power. And if that's the case, then the only hope for our hearts is that they would come under new kind of leadership, is that our hearts would be surrendered to the lordship of Jesus, that rather than what comes out of us is what we say, but what comes out of us is what Jesus wants us to say. That if our words carry that kind of power, we want them to guide others and encourage them towards Jesus, to reflect his life and not to mislead them. Jesus said these words in Matthew 12, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." What is Jesus saying here? Are my words, are those works? Are you saying, am I justified by my works? No. What Jesus is saying here is that our words are going to give evidence to our faith. He's saying, I'm going to listen to the way that you talk to others, those made in my image, and it's going to be an indication of whether or not you have been born again, that your heart has been transformed by the grace and love of Jesus. That Jesus says our words will be an indication of who's Lord of our lives. And then Paul says this in Ephesians 4. No foul language should come from your mouth. Just let that sit for a minute. No foul language, unwholesome talk, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. Now, did he say some of your words? Did he say the words when you're in church and with believers, that those should be no foul language? No, he says no words that come out of your mouth and my mouth should be unwholesome, crude. They should be, they should build up those around us. That our words should be evidence to the love and grace of Jesus in the way that we talk to others. You see, our words should serve people and not just our own self-interest. See, Paul is tying speech directly to edification, just a fancy word that just means building up people. To think of it around construction language, that you are constructing a building, a project, a house, and there's piece by piece, and every word that you're using is either adding to that or demolishing it. That's the power that our words have. And so maybe the step for you to take is to invite Jesus to lead your mouth how he should lead your life. And that's what James is trying to help us to see, is that words are so hard to tame and control that you and I can't do it on our own. As much as some of you have tried to change, to try not to cuss or to try not to have some of the ways that you have, and the reality is you can't change and tame your tongue. You need a supernatural power within you helping to transform you. It's because you need leadership in your life, King Jesus, so that your words would bless and bring clarity and encourage. Let your words become instruments of direction, not destruction. Not destruction. See, our words, they don't just direct, but James is going to tell us that they also can destroy. Look with me in verse 5. Again, words are dangerous. What's small can destroy what's great. Verse 5, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. In case you were wondering, James is really trying to help make a point here that our words are so dangerous. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed. Just go to the zoo. And you can see that every wild animal and beast, they found a way to tame it. And it has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. You see, James is trying to help us to see that the reason why our words matter so much is they don't just direct people, but they're also dangerous because they can destroy things. And he gives us this example, right, of a small blaze that can set a massive fire. And it just got me thinking, we hear about fires all the time you know, like we think of wildfires out west, typically around really dry conditions and what happens. Well, there was one that happened in California, right? This past year in the beginning of January, the Palisades fire out around in Northern California. And here's a picture of that blaze that was going on. And how it began was there was this individual who started a fire on New Year's Day. And the fire department actually heard about this. He called it in because he's a bit of an arsonist, right? A bit, you know, crazy. And so they go in and they put the fire, they put it out, they believed. But what they didn't realize is that there is something, I don't know if you knew this, there's things called zombie fires or peat fires. And what could happen is sometimes a fire can begin to go underneath the ground and it can begin to smolder. And it can catch fire with a lot of the leaves and the brush that has happened from the wintertime that has settled underneath the ground levels, and roots and things can start to catch on fire underneath the ground, that there can be underground fires. It's crazy. And so what began to happen is they thought the fire was out. They thought it was good, but underneath the surface, it was still burning, still moving from place to place until it finds an opportunity to open up and pops back up again, and which is what happened here, and it began to demolish. All that in the bottom half was where houses used to be, destroyed by a small blaze. You see, he wants us to visually to see that words that we say, man, they have great power. They have great potential to destroy things. They have great potential to tear down relationships, friendships, marriages, right? You know this. Somebody has said something to you that they weren't just words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Nothing so untrue has ever been said before, right? Like, some of our lives have been just broken because of words that someone said to you, because of words that you've heard, right? I don't love you anymore. I don't want to be married anymore. We lost the baby. You're fired. I don't want to be your friend. Right? Like, words people can say, whoo, they hit deep. Why? Because words can destroy. They're powerful. Which is why James is saying, if they have the power to destroy, then they can have the power to do really great things as well. But the problem is we can't tame it. You cannot tame the beast that is your tongue. Words can wreck what love has built. You see, our mouths often move faster than our hearts. My mouth moves so fast sometimes, I can't even get words out of it. But our mouths can move so quickly that we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit and wisdom to help direct those things. Some of you like me who like to process things out, sometimes the words get out of us and we're like, ooh, I want to bring that one back, right? Because it didn't quite accomplish what we hoped it would accomplish. You see, our emotions can outrun our wisdom. Reaction can outrun our reflection. And impulse outruns integrity. You see, our words can have the ability so quickly to destroy things. Things that took years to build trust and relationships. And all of a sudden, one careless word can begin to break those things down. Michelle and I have had a little disagreement this past week. Right? We're trying to figure out some ways to work with chores with our kids, and there were certain ways that I wanted to do it, certain ways that she wanted to do it, and we were trying to work through that, and we were both kind of frustrated because we have tried these things before, right? And there were some things that I had said. I was like, you know, hey, you shouldn't take this personally, right? And I'm saying things, and I'm like, why am I saying this, right? You're letting things come out of this, and I'm like, I can tell in her mouth, she's like, mm-hmm, okay, yeah, all right, you go ahead and you let that one rip, buddy. And there was this sense of just knowing, like, wow, like spending so much time that we've meant to try to craft good relationships, and all it takes is some careless words to come out, and all of a sudden you're like, oh crap, I got to go and I got to make this right, right? Because this isn't the kind of relationship that I want, because this is where bitterness and resentment starts to set in when we realize we don't try to make right things that we've said that are wrong. You see, James is telling us that our words destroy and that no human can tame it, but there is one who can. That Jesus can transform our speech. The same Jesus who calmed the storm, who said, peace, be still, can calm the storms inside of us. That he can renew some things inside of us. The gospel gives us the power not to be perfect speakers, but to be transformed ones. Transformed ones. See, what James is describing about the destructive nature of our words reveals why we need to depend on Jesus if we want to change in this area. And so, how can you and I, how can we use our words to build up and not to tear down? Maybe confess in your life words that you have spoken that have wounded some friends, your kids, your spouse, family members. Maybe go and confess not only to the Lord but to them and say, hey, I'm sorry for the words that I've used. They weren't helpful. They hurt. And I apologize and I ask for your forgiveness. You see, and even deeper, our words, they don't just reveal what we say, but they're revealing who we are. Look with me in verse 9, where James tells us how words are revealing. See, the words that come out of us reveal what's inside of us. Verse 9, with it, the it here is with your words, with your tongue, with your mouth. With it, we bless our Lord and our Father, and with it, we curse people made in the likeness of God. For the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine bear and produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. James is trying to make some, these are some, you know, he's asking questions that he doesn't want a response with. You know what I'm talking about with that, right? And so he's making some statements here and saying, hey, can a grapevine produce figs and a fig produce grapes? Can a saltwater pond produce fresh water? And he's saying, of course not. Of course not. What he's saying is the source of those things produces out of it. So out of a fig tree come figs. Out of a saltwater pond comes saltwater because the source is saltwater and fresh water. So what he's really drilling down is says, hey, your words are revealing some things in your heart. And you may feel like, this is not that big a deal. Or I'm just frustrated. Or, man, I let my emotions. But what it is it's some things in you are starting to come out of you. He says, hey, you've got to look at your words and you've got to examine those things. Now, does that mean we never say something wrong or we say something that offends or we use words uncarelessly or unfilteredly? Yes, those things will happen. And so if you do that, that doesn't mean you're not saved. But what it does mean, if that's a continual habit in your life, that maybe what's going on is maybe the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you some things of maybe there's some areas that you're kind of just going through the motions and maybe you're kind of playing the part, but the reality is the source in you hasn't changed. Hasn't really changed. Because my friends, when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, he changes some things. It's like, it's not just he goes to a house that's dilapidated and broken down and he just tries to fix it up, put some new paint on it, put some nice pictures up. He tears that sucker down and builds a whole new one. Because the foundation was flawed, because what was inside couldn't hold and hold through the storms of life. He needed to build a sturdier building. You see, our words are exposing our hearts. What comes out of us shows what's in us. Friends, if your mouth hasn't changed, maybe your heart hasn't either. Think about that. If your mouth, if your words have not changed since becoming a Christian, then we need to ask ourselves, has Jesus really got a hold of my heart? Has my heart been transformed? Because inconsistent words reveal an unchanged heart. He's saying if you come in here and you're coming to church, you're praising God, bless his name, raising hands, amening, and then you go home and you're cussing out your kids, you're gossiping at work, you're maligning and slandering people, your words are just criticism. He's saying, hey, those aren't compatible with one another. right? You can't use the same words to bless God and then tear down those who are made in his image. Friends, this is not how the kingdom works. He's saying our words are revealing some things inside of us. Remember, Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words, they are spiritual fruit. They're spiritual fruit. They tell the truth about the root in our lives. But the good news of the gospel is that there is still hope for you and me. While mankind cannot tame or change our words, the God-man who lived a sinless and perfect life can change us. That what is going to begin to change the fruit in our lives is there needs to be a new root that takes place in our lives. And that's where Jesus comes in. He makes us new. He replaces our bitter water with living water. And so maybe you need to let Jesus address the source of your heart and not just the symptoms of your words. Ask God to begin to change your hearts and not just your habits. Memorize. Maybe it's memorizing some of God's word, putting it in your heart. Because maybe some things you're putting in our devotions this upcoming week, where I love like our drive casts, and you can find those on our apps, where each day of the week some of our teaching pastors are talking through, and each day of the week we're looking through James. And one of the ones talked about how garbage in, garbage out, right? It's that age-old saying. Some of the things that we're putting in us is just coming out of us. And so how are we changing what's coming in us? Maybe it's putting more of the Word of God in our lives. Ephesians 4, again, no foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. Maybe you memorize this verse and you remind yourself, hey, I don't want anything unwholesome, anything that doesn't build others up. I don't want it to come out of my mouth. So Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, let this be true in my life. Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I remember when I was a new believer, a buddy of mine, and we were roommates when we were in college, and we got old construction paper, and we would just write verses and tape them on our walls, and just so they would be a reminder in our rooms of God's word, trying to memorize and put it in our hearts and our minds. Maybe what are ways you're trying to put God's word into you? Because the good news is that the word became flesh and dwelt among us so that our fleshly words could become like his. That the word changes our words. The hope for you and I isn't to try harder to do a better job with our lips, but to surrender our hearts and our lives to the Lordship of Jesus. To let the word of God and the word who embodies God, because he is God, change our hearts. Because again, right, words are powerful. That's what we've talked about. Words are powerful. Words are dangerous, and words are revealing. If your tongue reveals what's inside, then the only way to change your words is to change your insides, to change your hearts. If you want your words to change, we need our hearts to change. And maybe that's what you need here today. Maybe it's time to let the great physician, in the same way that the doctor comes in and checks your tongue, let's get a look in there. Maybe letting Jesus, the great physician, begin to come in and to change our hearts so that our words begin to change. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I just want to think about for each of us how we might respond to this. Because I know we might be all over this page with this. I was sharing this week, man, I failed in this area. Michelle could easily testify to that. But I also know that for some of you, perhaps today, man, the reason why our words aren't changing is we need our hearts to change. And that's maybe a step we can take right now. And so, God, I just want to begin to ask, on behalf of everyone here today, God, that we would begin to surrender our speech to Jesus. That, God, you would let our words be the public evidence of our personal faith in Jesus. That, Jesus, if you have our hearts, you have our mouths too. But maybe the reason that some of you here today can't get control of your tongue is because Jesus hasn't yet gotten control of your heart. And if you want to see your words change, you need your world to change. And that begins by letting Jesus in. And so the invitation today is not to try harder to talk better. It's to surrender completely to our God so that he could transform us from the inside out. And so today, if you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe this has been an indication for you that maybe your heart has not been transformed. That maybe you want your words to say to change, and that begins today by letting Jesus save you, to transform you. And so if today, if for the very first time, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, I would ask that maybe you would make a step of faith and just acknowledge before God to say, Lord, I need Jesus to change me from the inside out. And would your first step of faith be just to raise your hand up high and say, Lord Jesus, I need you to take control of my heart. If that's you today, would you raise your hand up high, just acknowledging to God that you want him to transform your heart? Thank you. Put your hand down. Maybe today, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've given your heart to him, but your words just haven't caught up yet. I want to remind you that the same Spirit who saved you wants to shape you. And so today, don't just ask God to fix your mouth. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill your heart. Because when he fills you, he changes what flows out of you. Because remember, a changed heart leads to changed words. And so God, we want to ask and pray all of these things for Jesus to transform us and to change us, God, because we need you. We need you, God. We surrender our lives to you, Jesus, and we pray all this in your precious name. Amen.